Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show, superlative co-host. Joe McGranahan is across me. Fabulous producer Rob Centers on the other side of the glass, so we appreciate his presence. He had a rare day off yesterday, but he is back, so we're glad to see him on board. Over in the newsroom, Matt Catrillo is there. On the other side of the hall, we have the 94KX crew. We got the Valley crew over there. The WMOP people are downstairs. Let's see, who else?
They didn't bring us any of the food they're eating over there in the N94KX control room.
Well, okay, I'll tell you what. It is a ultra-dry flaxseed coffee cake with no sugar.
Well, that doesn't sound very tasty.
So are you sure you're upset about being left out?
No, maybe I'm not.
I tried a teaspoon of it.
Wasn't very good.
My mouth is still dry, so yeah, it's.
What does it have? No calories?
Well, yeah, it's a health food. It's supposed to help you enjoy, what shall we say, routine, okay? And that's all we'll say about that.
Well, there's always the Mark Patrick weight loss seminars we're advertising.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know.
Unfortunate choice of words. I love the commercial where the one woman says to how much weight did you lose? And the woman says 83 pounds. And I guess it's Mark Patrick who says, holy cow. Maybe that's not such a good shape.
Man, you must have been a cow.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's bad. All right. Well, welcome aboard to everybody. This is how we start out with some senseless frivolity, and so we really appreciate you joining us.
That's what we do here on Abbott and Costello, discuss current events.
I drag Joe down to my level, basically, is what happens. He's his honor, mayor of Shaboka Dam, head of the CSVT task force, and I'll tell you what, a very eager beaver volunteer, and is the person for whom the so-called McGranahan Gate is named in Shaboka.
No, they call it the Mayor's Gate. They're going to name it after me, they said last night.
The Mayor's Gate?
Yeah, it's the emergency entrance into Orchard Hills,
right,
in that neighborhood, entrance and exit. We were just clowning.
All right. Mayor's Gate. I think that sounds like a controversy.
It does, the Mayor's Gate.
Mayor's Gate continues in Shaboka Dam. McGranahan found out.
Yeah. They said they were going to, put a plaque out for me, wanted to know what kind of lettering I wanted on the cardboard.
Old cardboard. It's an old Amazon box with a smiley.
Right, a smiley face on it. And I guess they're going to paint it all up. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
We'll have to have a dedication ceremony.
Geez, with that kind of honoring, who needs a robe or anything like that?
That's true.
All right, well, welcome on board, everybody. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as a half a dozen people have done. We'll be more than happy to read those on the radio. And you can text us at 70236. For Text Connect members, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect yet, please do so. It's an opportunity for us to reach out to you and let you know that we've posted a major story at wkok.com. We send you no more than a dozen or so, probably 10 to 15 texts per month. And it's always breaking national news, local news, a major road closed, weather warnings because of imminent bad weather, dead celebrities, that kind of thing. So we keep you informed about all the information you need to know. Text Connect, we don't sell your name or number to anyone. We keep it to ourselves and just use it to let you know that we have some more news posted at WKOK.com. So that is the Text Connect system. A couple of things pending and cooking. Tomorrow on our show, we'll have David Rowe here. He is the Republican candidate for 85th District in the State House. And then next Tuesday night, the League of Women Voters of the Lewisburg area holds their 85th District State House forum. Now, David Rowe has declined to attend that, but you will see, again, Claire Moyer, who was just on our Sunrise show, and he'll be on the Mark at some point in the weeks ahead. And You'll also see Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay at that event next Tuesday night. They both have said they would be there. So that's where your candidates are. So that is happening. Let's see. We had U.S. Senator Pat Toomey at the Miller Center yesterday. The two chambers around here organized an opportunity for all the local eggheads to converge on the Miller Center and hear the Senator and Congressman Keller talked about what's going on in terms of Washington and the budget and pushing our economy still further forward. Maybe recovering from the wood mode was a brought up topic for a time, but certainly some of the message that was presented yesterday related to Senator Toomey, who's a national touchstone individual now for changes in gun laws that he's been advocating for a couple of years, and he got an open mic. So if you wish to comment on those, he talked about three main things. The lie and try effort. If you lie and try to buy a gun with false information on the federal firearms form, a greater penalty for that. And in some cases, as some of our listeners have told us, sometimes any penalty, sometimes the enforcement doesn't happen when you lie
but
on that
does.
Form.
But it does. They have to report. You have to report any lies like that when they start the background check. I know our police department has had any number.
I think they get reported at the local level.
Yeah, and they get arrested for it.
In your town?
Well, I think in every town. I can't imagine where they wouldn't arrest them.
If anybody knows of any town at all ever where a lie and try effort took place and no arrest followed, call us now, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565, or text us at 702.
Why do you want to know that?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that they want to beef up this law, is that all municipalities don't handle it the same, neither does the county prosecutor who's going to take an
effort
there.
Well, that's the key. If the district attorney says, I won't prosecute them, or I don't consider that to be serious, but the police, I think, in most instances, every that I've ever heard, and I know in our borough, they filed the charges.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe it's not a local police dilemma. Maybe it is either the county prosecutor, or maybe it's a an appellate court or something.
Well, I know in Snyder County, the district attorney is very aggressive with that. I mean, you don't get away with it in Snyder County.
Well, Mike Piazza, well, I haven't talked to him in almost 2 hours, but he did talk about the fact that they have had more prosecutions of that crime in his county. All of his caseload in almost every segment is slowly increasing. So the president is, for believe it or don't, as irrational as he's been for 2 years, is willing to talk about some of these changes in gun laws
that
Senator Toomey has said for a long time could make us safer.
That's very interesting. The president came out yesterday. I mean, the Democrats and people on the left who don't like the president have said he has never come out and emphatically condemned white nationalism. He did it yesterday, and so now their thing is, well, he doesn't have the moral authority to do that because of all the things he said in the past. How does he win? I mean, I think he said the right thing yesterday, and I hope he follows through with it. Someone pointed out that he's made promises before with regard to universal background checks, and he hasn't followed through on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to have to do something about it now. But I thought it was very interesting that the New York Times...
Well, both statements are true. The president says this. He's going to push for it. That's fine. But he doesn't. The moral authority is kind of a non-entity in Washington, D.C. Obviously, morals have
There's plenty of lack of morals in Washington.
Right. They have no sway anyway. So, and Democrats have no standing on which to say morals is our primary driver anyway. So that's fine. So, but I think this is we're in a good place where we can start to have these conversations. It's sad that the mass shootings happen, but if they do prompt some common sense changes in gun laws, I think that could be a good idea.
Well, one of my Facebook friends posted a meme from some Democratic organization or another that had a picture of the Statue of Liberty in the mist, and it said, vote out every Republican, state, local, and national, everyone.
Republican.
Right.
Oh, because they're having this conversation.
It's all the fault of Republicans. You know, come on. This is the kind of stupid rhetoric and blind ignorance that causes these problems. Republicans and Democrats both need to take the politics out of this, which they don't seem to be willing to do, and work on finding a way to solve this problem. I thought Hillary Clinton, who doesn't normally make good points as far as I'm concerned, made a good one. She said other countries have the same amount of mental health issues we have. Other countries play video games. The difference is the guns. Now, when you stop to think about it, that's true. You know, the United States has more mass murders than other countries. We don't have any more mental health issues than other countries, apparently. We don't have any more video game addicts than other countries. So the difference in her estimation, is proximity to guns. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, that's maybe a valid point.
Well, and
I don't think we're going to solve that issue.
And not to hang my whole hat on Senator Toomey and only Senator Toomey, but he did say mental health treatment, whether it comes in the form of red flag laws or keeping an eye out for individuals or, you know, see something, say something, no matter what it is, he says, you know, mental health dilemmas are going to have to be part of this conversation. So many people just say, well, this is guns, guns, guns. We got to do that, you know, ban this, change that, you know, restrict that. But he says, and I agree, mental health factors have to be talked about. You can't just scapegoat everybody. Well, you know, he has a mental illness. That's why he went on this shooting. That does not help us. You know, we do need some changes in either procedures or treatments or behaviors or payouts from insurance companies, whatever it is, that would help treat individuals who have mental dilemmas.
Well, since Cain slew Abel, we've never been able to figure out how to eliminate murder in this world of ours.
Was that the first one? All right.
The first recorded one that I'm aware of.
Okay. 1-800-795-
I'm sure there was a caveman somewhere who beat somebody over the head with a club. Which would be a little earlier, perhaps.
Right. Okay. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Call us now. Are there any common sense changes in gun laws that Senator Toomey says could make us safer that you agree with, or do you strongly disagree? What's your view on this?
Well, we've asked that question on this program 1,000 times before, and we've never come up with any
consensus.
Yeah, but
we've never had two mass shootings in the same weekend.
No, I think the Congress is going to have to get together, and like everything else, they won't take the politics out of it. If they would sit down, and I think that's what the president said basically yesterday, take the politics out of this, let's sit down. But, you know, it's too hard. Even Beto O'Rourke, the president says he's going to El Paso, and Beto O'Rourke saying he doesn't have the right to come here. We don't want him here. We don't need to hear from him. Well, how does that help the healing process? You know, if the president is, if he said some things in the past that people believe gave some encouragement at, as a very minimum to people who are on the right, far right extreme side, if he's willing now to come to the center and say, look, we got to stop this. We need to work together. Is this where the Democrats stand back and throw stones at him? Or is this where they say, thank God you finally agree with us. We, you know, let's get together and solve this problem. But I think the Beto O'Rourkes of this world are just going to keep the politics going.
Well, I tend to agree with part of that. One of the things that I saw on social media yesterday also was, oops, the president has thrown the NRA under the bus. You know, as though he's somehow tied to them or controlled by them. He certainly does respect their opinion, but they're not the decider. Everybody knows Melania is, and she had told him to do that speech yesterday that you saw. Take his medication and do his speech. So he did do it.
There you are doing exactly the same thing.
Well, he did.
Take his medication.
Well,
what
nobody,
medication would that be? That you're aware of, since you're now the doctor in charge of the president's mental health.
See, it causes.
Think he's taking Ritalin, do you?
No, I don't think so. It causes that speech dilemma. I don't know. We'll have to find out. We'll ask some mental health professionals what they think it is. Well, we have callers on the line now. We got a break coming up, so we're going to do one call, then break, then take the other call. We got half a dozen emails on a wide range of topics, not all on this topic. So I see the word John Moran at the bottom of one. Jobs, health care, Trump love, reigning idiots, killings, mass shootings, and gun violence. So we'll see what all the topics are on those when we get down to them. 1-800-795-9565 is the most important number you'll hear today. Bobby D., thank you so much for calling in. You're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. As far as trying to, you know, address the problems we have in this country, whether it's, you know, I think more education and more accountability. I mean, whether it's you know, eating too much food or speeding or gambling or mass shootings or anything else, to take a good look at why we do things the way we do. Because I think, you know, when it comes to pointing at the president or pointing at this or pointing at that, that doesn't help anything, and it's more of trying to address the root problem.
All right, so what kind of education would prevent mass killings?
Well, okay, maybe from like a spiritual sense and all that, you know, to, I don't know, like put, you know, because, you know, as you look at the Bible and that, you know, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not this, and thou shalt not that, to make them aware of the, I'm going to say, eternal consequences.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And accountability. We are hearing conversations about that. Death penalty for individuals that do mass shootings. So, and also prosecuting them as terrorism incidents is being talked about. Tom, stand by. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
When we talk about a master towing service, what do you think we're talking about? Well, we have to be talking about the Sunbury Motor Company. They don't just have a tow truck that has a little hook on the back. No, they got rollbacks. They got tow trucks for trucks that look like big cranes on 10 wheels. They got devices that can haul larger trucks in a rollback situation. Even one truck that can hold the trailer from the truck on a trailer. That's something important. That's what makes them a master towing service. That's why the Sunbury Motor Company is noted for their service on all sizes of trucks, whether it's my Ford Ranger pickup truck, which is still a small truck. It's, what, a 93 or 94, and it's in super condition thanks to the Sunbury Motor Company, or a full-size F-150 truck, or an F-250, or Joe's dump truck from Shamokin Dam, that's an F-350, they can fix it. If you got a truck, tractor, trailer, any size of freight or retail hauler, big box truck, a little Isuzu truck, or a great big Volvo truck, or one of them Sterling tractors, they can fix it. It's the Sunbury Motor Company. Trucks are them. And anything on anywhere between 4 wheels and 20 wheels, they can tow, repair, fix, shine up, and return in better shape than it was before. The Sunbury Motor Company. Check all that truck service out at sunburymotors.com. Thank you, Tom, for waiting. Very much appreciated. You are on the mark.
Yeah, the guy that said that they need to vote all the Republicans out, he's got the right idea.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't...
Because these Republicans have their pocket, have their hands so deep in the pockets of the gun lobby, the NRA, the pharmaceutical companies, and the healthcare industry, the military-industrial complex, that it isn't even funny. I mean, they can probably reach in so far that they could tickle their feet. I mean, you are never going to straighten this problem out. I will guarantee you that nothing will come of this. Mitch McConnell could, what do they call him?
Moscow Mitch.
Moscow Mitch could come back right now. They're asking him to come back and take votes. He won't do it. In a month, this will all be forgotten about when they come back, and nothing's going to be done. Because why? Because these Republicans want the money. That's all it's about. It's all about money. They could care less if who gets killed, how many get killed. They could care less. It's all about the money. And unless you get the money out of politics, you're never going to fix it. Never.
Tom, you realize you're part of the problem with thinking like that. The
Republicans
are this bad, they're that bad. Of course, Democrats are all wonderful, virtuous people who have the blessings from on high cast upon them, and they never do anything wrong.
They don't take anything.
They never make a mistake.
They don't take money from the gun lobby. They're getting theirs from banks. I'm not saying they're perfect. I'm not saying they have their problems, too. But they're not getting their money from the gun lobby. The Republicans are getting their money from the gun lobby, the NRA, and that nut you had on there yesterday, that Dan Musial, I mean, he almost makes Ben Reichle look good. I mean,
He's way out there.
Well, he's pretty conservative.
He's another one of those 100% rating with the NRA. And that's the way the Republicans are.
Well, he is.
And they got so much. They love this money coming in. They love it. And they're not going to. And the same with health care. They aren't going to give up this money. I guarantee you, nothing will happen. It's all talk, just like it was every other time.
Well, you know, I think you're. It's hard to know where to start with you because
I was just thinking the same. Where do you begin?
Where do I begin? I mean, you're starting from the premises that the Republicans are inherently evil. That every Republican takes money from the National Rifle Association. Ironically, the National Rifle Association contributes money to Democrats too. I was just looking at
in 1990,
they contributed $873,000 to Republicans. $314,000 to Democrats. I'm sorry, that was the total. $314,000 to Democrats, $559,000 to Republicans.
Oh, get out. That number's in the millions. My God, they give millions just to one guy. Where are you coming up with this stuff?
Look it up. That's what I did.
Be getting a box of Cracker Jacks.
Well, they can't give $1 million to an individual.
No.
They give it to the presidential campaign. What do they give Trump? Do they give him 20 million? $40 million?
There's caps on that. You know, if they gave that much money, they would certainly be. I mean, overall.
Well, they did. The NRA gave a lot of money to Trump.
Well, but I'm saying over the years they've given $19 million to Republicans, $5 million to Democrats.
All right. No.
So I mean, so what do we do with these Democrats who took the NRA's money? Are they all bad people too?
Well,
just like
the
Republicans?
They get voted out too.
Okay. Well, at least you're being fair about that.
One of our listeners says, so, Tom, why are you so willing to take the law-abiding citizens' rights away? You're playing right into the communists' hands for the destruction of this country.
To have weapons. And another thing that can be done is this guy bought a vest. He bought these canisters that hold 100 rounds each. He bought this weapon, and that doesn't put up a red flag with anybody when somebody does that. That's not a red flag. Well, you wouldn't think that the guy that sold him that stuff would say, I wonder what this guy's going to do with this stuff. Now, wouldn't you think, I wonder what this guy's going to do with that?
I think that's a little less suspicious than the guy who went to an airline training school in Florida and said he didn't need to learn how to land the plane. That's certainly true.
Now you're rationalizing.
No, well, I'm not. I'm saying that you talk about what
you're going in there and
you talk
and
about what should trigger somebody.
Who in their right mind? Who needs a bulletproof vest?
Who in their right mind?
Who needs a bulletproof vest?
Who in their right mind takes flying lessons and says I don't need to learn how to land?
Well, I don't. You're switching the subject.
No, it's exactly the same thing.
I'm asking you. Who in the general public needs a bulletproof vest?
Oh, I think people want them because they're going to do something in a potentially dangerous area.
Going into a place and shooting somebody so the cops can't shoot them back. Yeah, that's
one
right.
motive. But I'll tell you what, thousands and thousands of vests are out there by law-abiding citizens who use them, collect them. It's sort of part of a protective mentality that they have, or, you know, maybe in case somebody were to break into their home or something. I just think it's like guys who have...
That's hilarious.
Guys who have
monster... I wear my bulletproof vest around the house every day.
You know, guys who have monster trucks, you know, that they're 36 inches off the ground. What do you need that for? Well, you don't need it. But it's part of a great sort of a manly mentality. You want those things, so you have them. And that's why they have them.
Boys, I can't hear you both at the same time.
Oh, I can't hear him if he's still talking. But he's interrupting.
What really bothers me, Tom, is your assertion that Republicans don't care about people being killed. You know, that's beneath you.
Absolutely don't.
Oh, come on, man. You can't possibly believe that.
Well, then why don't they do something?
Well, why didn't the Democrats do something? Hey, there were mass... There were mass murders under Democratic administrations when Democrats had control of both the Senate and the House. Why didn't they do something?
Because they were too busy counting their money from the NRA. One of our listeners says, Tom, who are you to say what people do or don't need. Yeah, I agree with thee. And another individual calls you. Moscow Tom is on the air. All right, we'll give you the last word. Go ahead, Tom. Go right ahead.
Well, I don't have anything else to say other than what I said.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling, and thanks
always
for being...
Always fun to talk to you, even though we don't always agree. Call again.
All right.
Take care, Tom.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, the assertion that Republicans don't care if people get killed. I wouldn't assume that about the worst person I know. I would assume that they had some humanity and cared about whether or not people were killed. I can't imagine any normal, rational human being who wouldn't be appalled by the killings that took place over the last weekend. But I'm just as appalled by the killings that take place every weekend in places like Chicago. If we're going to have a conversation about this, it can't just be that a few people who have ideological insanity in their past or in their current. We can't just talk about what they're doing. We need to talk about the whole culture of violence in this country. And I don't know that, you know, I agree with some people that say not everybody's mentally ill who's involved in this, but there certainly are some things that need to be looked at carefully with respect to how people react and how they behave. Whether it's video games, television, or whatever it is, we need to look at it.
All right, we're going to have that conversation. We're going to talk about all of those aspects during the 9 a.m. hour. We're going to seek your opinion. We're going to read some emails. We're going to take the texts, and we're going to enjoy open phones, and we're going to cure all known diseases and feed the poor on this show. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 1-800-795-9565 is the hometown pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565 on the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We do have an open phone now. We had a very minor phone dilemma, but it's 100% perfect now. So give us a buzz, 1-800-795-9565. Our emails are working perfectly, too. You simply send an email to onthemark@wkok.com. U.S. Senator Pat Toomey was in Lewisburg Monday afternoon talking about shootings which took place over the weekend. Senator Toomey discussed different pieces of gun control legislation. Some is already pending in the U.S. House.
I doubt that the House-passed legislation can get passed, but I think something constructive could get passed. I mentioned the red flag legislation. There's bipartisan support for that. I mentioned the lie and try legislation. There is bipartisan support for that. And the expanding of the background check system that Senator Manchin and I introduced, that got broader bipartisan support than anything in the Senate in a very long time. I don't know whether there's 60 votes to get it actually passed. And while I discussed it with the president today, he didn't make a commitment that I will support that particular bill. I wouldn't expect him to be all that familiar with every last detail of our bill. But my point is, the president is open to this conversation. He is open to broader background checks.
Some local citizens were outside the Miller Center yesterday upon the lawmaker's arrival, including the group Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. Member Sherry Jacobson said they want to support Senator Toomey in his changes in laws.
Senator Toomey has long been an advocate for background checks on all firearm sales, and so we are grateful for that as well. So we're here to say keep up the good work, and we look forward to working with you.
The senator made a summer recess stop at the Miller Center in Lewisburg to discuss a wide range of topics with a wide range of individuals from our valley, invited there by the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce and the Central Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce. Sunbury and Lewisburg both have their National Night Out observances tonight. Buffalo Valley Regional Police up in Lewisburg, along with the Union County Sheriff's Department, the William Cameron Engine Company, and the Buffalo Valley Recreation Authority host their event tonight, 5 to 9 p.m. at the Lewisburg Area Recreation Park. In Sunbury, it is in Cameron Park this evening. Mayor Kurt Karlovich invites everybody to Sunbury's National Night Out observance. a North Carolina gun shop that drew nationwide attention with a billboard targeting four minority congresswomen has replaced it with a sign praising the First Amendment. A billboard sponsored by Cherokee Guns had shown the congresswomen with the apocalyptic phrase, "The Four Horsemen Cometh," altered to read, "The Four Horsemen Are Idiots." Television stations locally reported the billboard was replaced yesterday with one reading, "First Amendment, Enough Said." And the billboard had targeted the four representatives who had drawn the wrath of President Donald Trump. It was signed, "The Deplorables." And the chief salesperson for the gun shop said that they took down the original message because of the death threats that were posted online.
Against whom? The congresswomen or the gun shop?
It doesn't say. I would assume it was against the gun shop people, but hey, I don't know. Maybe it was against the congresswomen. Thanks for giving me their pictures. You know, I'm going to kill them or something bad like that. Or we're going to, I don't know. That was the first thing that popped in my mind.
Mine too, and it never said.
It doesn't say. And finally, an online message board that carried the manifesto believed posted by the gunman in El Paso, Texas, has in effect been shut down. The message board 8chan was disabled after two companies cut off vital technical services to it. 8chan is known for trafficking in anonymous hate speech and incitement of hate crimes, and the post by the alleged Texas shooter marks the third known instance that a shooter posted on the site before going on a rampage. The companies that pulled the plug on 8chan protect websites from denial of service attacks that can make them unreachable.
So three times they posted warnings before they attacked, and so we shut them down. It seems to me we should let them up and have somebody monitoring it all the time.
Use it as a guide. Well, maybe the feds will do that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Cindy, thank you for waiting. You are on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. So yesterday when I called, I challenged us to find actions that that might actually do something that would be effective. And I discovered one that I think could be effective. It's called the Threat Assessment Prevention and Safety Act. There is bipartisan legislation in both the House and the Senate. This is at the federal level for this bill. In fact, in the House, 53 Democrats and 53 Republicans have already signed on in support of the bill. And it's been introduced by Senators Rubio, Sternma, and Tillis. That's a Democrat and two Republicans in the Senate. What this bill does is it establishes a national task force that identifies ways to assess and identify people in crisis who would behave in this fashion. And given that, and then it disseminates that information to the state and the local law enforcement entities so that they can apply these interventions appropriately in their communities. Doesn't force anyone to do anything. It just shows you how to do this. Now, apparently at the federal level, they use this behavioral assessment all the time to evaluate people. So why shouldn't we use this at the state and local level to do the same thing? So, for example, that one of the people who recently committed one of these shootings had posted online threats against other people, right? So that might invoke this group in our local area to examine what you've said and to investigate whether or not you would truly take that action. And should you intend to do that, then intervene.
Is that a comment?
But who
a
would
targeted what, intervention?
But what type of people would be doing this intervening? I mean, mental health professionals or law enforcement or who?
Exactly. It's a task force that's established that has people with experience in dealing with people with these problems. It has the local police department. You would establish these agencies locally. This is not a federal mandate. It is not the feds doing it and giving you a call. They would show you how to do this. And you would establish it locally, regionally, in the state, and then use these techniques, people locally would intervene.
Aren't you just going to drive people underground? I mean, they're already, not everybody has a Facebook account, not everybody has a social media profile.
That's true, Joe, but I think this one young man made this information available in a school. if I understood the... Of course, you can't really believe much about what they report on television anymore. I think, this morning I did hear, and I do lend credence to a grandmother who heard her grandson making these kinds of threats, and this woman called the police and intervened. That's an example.
Yeah, that was a good story. I heard that, too. Yeah, she turned him in.
Yes, she did, and they went, and by golly, the guy had accumulated weapons and had every intention of using them to harm people. So here's one that got clipped before it ever happened, got cut off, right? I think this has something to consider. Now, I know people, I looked into this farther, so what would be the downside, right, of doing this? Well, there's some people who describe it as a minority report. That's a movie, folks, in which they predicted whether you were capable of committing a crime, and if you were, then they arrested you. So you never even... So it's just the thought, the mere thought of it caused you to have come under legal consequence. First of all, that isn't what this suggests. They intervene. Maybe they get you into a mental health program. In some cases, maybe you're committed, because as the commitment laws in this country say, in our community, in our state, if you're a threat to yourself or others, and in this case, you would be a threat to other people. They don't do that casually, believe me. In all the years that I worked in the emergency room, we did not ever casually, you had to be brought there, and we had to agree, that the doctor, the physician, had to agree that you represented a threat to yourself or others before you were ever committed. And it's for a very limited period of time. But, I mean, here's something that's targeted exactly to the issue. It's not some broad, sweeping thing. I think that's what we need. And this has been used effectively by the federal government in terms of protecting the president and the House and Senate. So why don't we deserve an equal level of effort to protect us, our communities?
Don't they have national hotline numbers where you can report something like this?
I don't know, Joe.
It seems to me that that would be a good starting point, you know, because let's face it, mass murders are not all that common considering the number of people and the number of guns that are available. It would seem to me that some national hotline where someone who had a suspicion that someone they knew might be involved could make that phone call anonymously and at least trigger some kind of a look.
Well, that would work.
Well, you know what worries me about that, Joe? Let's look at other national hotlines. So we have a hotline about child abuse.
Right.
We've had it for years and years and years. And yet, that agency that is the other end of that phone failed to react in more than 50% of the cases in the last report that I saw. So I think that's a false sense of security. I understand this is another level of government and, you know, the whole implications thereof. If we want, it seems to me this is far more rational. The other thing I don't understand is why people who are on the terrorist watch list can get a gun. I have no problem. If you found yourself on the terrorist watch list, you should be prohibited from purchasing any gun or gun-related things. Now, there should be, I also believe, a sharp and timely capacity for the individual citizen who finds themselves on that list to take that to court and seek to be removed from that list.
At no cost to their own.
At no cost to you, that's right. You should be able to go in there and say, there is no way I did this, said this, believe this, et cetera, et cetera. You should be able to argue that case in court before a judge and have a timely disposition to get you back off that list. But if we're not going to let people fly in airplanes, why would we let them buy guns? Have ammunition.
Right.
Now,
sounds reasonable
all of
to me.
This only addresses the legal channels of having those things. You know, I urge my neighbors that LA Times put out a report, and they have a list of all the people who have done this, right, over the last 50 years, a list of it. And you can see, I personally believe that the federal government should engage in a much deeper data mining of individuals who commit this crime. And I've said this before. Not only socially, but medically. If you commit this crime, you forfeit your right to consent. If you live to tell the tale, you will be confined for the rest of your life, and you will be subjected to various screenings, medical and social,
all right,
to try to identify what's common about this.
All right, we do data mining to find terrorism. We can do that. Thank you so much,
Cindy. Well, yeah, we complain about it when somebody like Facebook does it to us.
Common sense changes and laws that would make us safer. No, no, we can't do it. Joe, would you read the upper right-hand corner,
yes,
please?
One of our emailers says, the NRA contributed over $30 million to Trump's campaign and a total of $80 million to Republicans. Don't just throw that off as being not the way they can do it. These are statistics from the campaign. They posted most of the money, 99% for Republicans and 1% for Democrats. And I will wait and see if anything gets done when President LaPierre tells Trump which way to move. When you bought a politician, he better stay bought. Well, that's not 99% and 1% are not the numbers that I saw on where I looked at.
Well, whatever the proportion is, obviously they favor Republicans.
Yeah, it was like 2/3 for Republicans, 1/3 for Democrats.
And obviously through PACs, they're able to channel millions of dollars far and above the caps to individuals. All right, we'll take a quick break. Stand by, Dan and Dale and emailers. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. He has waited as long as our previous caller spoke. It is Dan. He's on the mark. Thank you for your patience, sir. You are on
you
the mark.
You bet. You bet. Good morning, guys. Well, you know, the Bobby, the earlier caller there, was on to the right ideas. What the problem is, the problem isn't the AR-15 sitting in my gun cabinet. The problem is the dust gathered on my Holy Bible. That's the problem in society. We relegated God out of our lives. We don't have no moral authority whatsoever. So it's all up to the individual to make his own authority. And these shooters have nothing to live for. They're relegated to nothing in their lives that they can put their hands on to live for. You know, that's the whole problem. No moral authority in our society. And I hold, as every believer holds on to God to keep us in the straight and narrow way, is what's missing. And basically, we relegated God to a religion, something it's up to, it's not necessarily real. If it's real to you, it's real. If it's not real to you, then it's not real. And that's the whole problem. When I grew up, God was real. God was still in the school system. And we all learned moral values. But as the rebellion in the 1960s took place, we relegated God out of society, so now we have no moral framework or no moral standing to stand on. And that's the problem.
Well,
Well, I guess if you could argue that that would help, but, you know, the Bible certainly is present in people's lives. They may not take it seriously or read it or allow it to collect dust, as you mentioned you did. I think it's, you know, I think people are making a wide range of choices. I don't know that we have a lot more shooters than we used to. We certainly cover it a lot more.
Well, the Los Angeles Times did a study of trying to find out what things mass murderers had in common. It was a rather extensive study. They found that the vast majority of mass shooters in their study experienced early childhood trauma and exposure to violence at a young age. The nature of their exposure included parental suicide, physical or sexual abuse, neglect, domestic violence, and or severe bullying. The trauma was often a precursor to mental health concerns, including depression, anxiety, thought disorders, and suicidality. None of that's related to religion.
It's all related to everything you stated. There's related not to religion, but to God, and that people wouldn't have them problems to pass on to their children if they had a faith in the Almighty God. That they're exactly what's wrong in society. One thing's passed right down to the other. We relegated God to a myth, and not as a real being. And that's the problem right there. They pass it right on down to their, right on down through the, to their offspring. And back when I grew up, my grandparents still read the Bible. My parents still had respect for the Bible, but as the new generations come along, they barely know anything about the Bible. They barely know why we even pay any attention to it anymore. And because we relegated it off to the, like I said, the dust on the Holy Bible will condemn us as a whole, as United States as a whole. We turned our back on the Almighty up through, especially I noticed it after the 60s rebellion. It all changed in that period of time. And that's, and we have more problems now than we ever did.
But the trauma these people, Dan,
the
trauma these people were subjected to was often a precursor to mental health concerns, including depression, anxiety, thought disorders, or suicidality. So even if they made a conscious decision to get religion, it would probably be tainted by the fact that they weren't thinking straight. So I don't see, while I agree with you, I think part of our decline is because we, the breakdown of the traditional family values and morality in this country. I agree with you on that. But I'm not certain that the answer to stopping, you know, mass murders is religion.
Well, it's not.
It wouldn't hurt.
I don't call it religion. I call it faith in the real, in the true God of Scripture, and the only true holy book we have, with, as this country was brought up in, as our forefathers believed. They weren't all perfect people by any means, but we had a morality that was above a lot of nations, and we kept ourselves free through that Holy Scripture. And as time goes on, we relegate it to, as you say, religion. As religion isn't a good word. Religion is, can be anything, but the truth is God's holy word, and God's revealed through His holy word, and that has an effect on us as people. Once we receive that word and receive the truth of the word of God.
Well, other than thou shalt not commit murder, where in the Bible does it say anything about mass murders?
Well, we would learn that it's wrong to murder anybody. That's what we would learn. We would learn, you gentlemen mentioned Cain and Abel, and that was the first murder because they were, that Adam and Eve were the first people in history. The caveman came after Adam and Eve, but Cain was jealous of Abel because Abel brought a proper sacrifice to God. He brought a blood sacrifice that would atone for his sin. And Cain brought fruit of the ground with no blood in it that didn't atone for his sin.
All right, we got to stop you there.
Mad. He was mad, and he couldn't handle it. He rose up and slew his brother. Then he was banned from that area, sent off to the land of Nod.
All right, we got to stop you there. We got to get going.
You guys have a great one. Good program again today.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your topics.
Appreciate
Bye.
The call. Wait. Are you still there?
Yes.
Are you going to Lewisburg's National Night Out?
You bet.
All right, we'll see
I'll
you
be
up
there.
There
tonight. All right. Are you going to be there?
Not me, but we'll send in staff up there.
I'll go and pick on somebody of your staff.
Please do. I appreciate it. All right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
You guys have a great one.
All right, Joe, you got a lot of work to do. Get started,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, all right. This one's from Bob. He says, good morning. Guns only play a part in these killings. Do you remember all the cars and trucks that have been run into crowds of people? These white socialists will find a way to get it done. We need to stop feeding them the hate Trump is telling them. We're being invaded. We're being invaded. What do? Trump supporters yell, kill them. Trump smiles and says nothing against it. Since these shooting Republicans are afraid to go against the Trump administration, One has sensed the shootings and was asked to leave his party and become Democratic.
One has stood up to President Trump,
but was asked
to leave the party.
Punctuation does make a big difference.
These guys are pretty busy.
One has sensed the shootings and was asked to leave his party and become Democratic. The problem is Trump. Hate. The one commissioner of Texas don't want Trump to visit until he takes his hate words back. The fact that prayers were taken out of schools, etc., has made our great country go to the dogs.
He has that add-on sentence about prayer in schools.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think taking prayer out of schools has exacerbated our shooting problem. I think religious schools are subject to this, too, and they have prayer in them.
Well, you know, how many mass murders have been committed by people who attended religious schools? You know, we don't know that. We don't know. Dan says religion or faith is the answer to our problems, but we don't know whether, you know, let's face it, atrocities have been committed in the name of God.
I'll bet your Los Angeles Times study knows that, too. I'm sure religiosity was a brought up topic in that process. We know childhood trauma seems to be a through line through some of it, but what about
the second thing they've discovered was that almost all of them had in common was some life-changing event or triggering event within the weeks or months leading up to their crimes.
Some tragedy.
Change of job status, a death in the family.
The election of President Trump.
Breakup. Well, I don't know whether the election of President Trump had anything to do with it. Duffy contributes this. He says, I think all of the callers and emailers on Monday's show from Moscow, I love Al-Qaeda Omar. I love Al-Qaeda Omar.
I love Al-Qaeda Omar, Mitch.
Mitch, to Dapper Dan Muser, Cindy's rationale was the best. Background checks will not stop the killing. We have to change the culture. Just Google, how many can you kill with one shot on Fortnite? Oh my, there are numerous YouTube videos on getting the best kill. How about John Wick? He kills about 65 people per movie. When the journalists tout the decline of organized religion in America, doesn't this speak volumes on how we marginalize life today? Art does imitate life, ask Quentin Tarantino. Then ask your listeners just how many would give up their guns if they were banned. But you know, that's right. Fortnite is, I don't know if you've seen that game. My son and daughter-in-law will not allow my 10-year-old grandson to play it, which makes him something of a pariah among his friends.
Very
because
violent
everybody
game.
Else plays it. Well, the people, when they're shot, they don't bleed or, you know, fall down in grotesque ways. They just kind of evaporate, you know, so it kind of desensitizes. But look, years ago, there was a game I can remember when my son and I, back when the spaceport was open at the mall, we'd go down there and there was this game where you drove a car and you ran over people. And everyone you ran over, a little cross popped up. That was the game. So, I mean, talk about, we do play games that desensitize people to death. And television programs do the same thing, too. I mean, I've seen the John Wick movies. Their body count there is horrendous.
Well, but John Wick only kills bad people. He doesn't kill innocent civilians who are standing along the street. He kills people who get in his way. All right, one of our listeners sends a note.
So that's the criteria. If you get in my way,
well,
I'm
just saying, you know, they complain about real-life organized crime killings. They don't go up and down the street and shoot innocent people. They shoot generally people who are involved in this. Now, I'm not saying it's right or fair or legal. I'm just saying that they tend to pick on their own people.
Well, Dick came up with roughly the same numbers I did. He said, I went to the NRA site. They have two-year cycles as the House elections are set. In 19 and 20, Republicans got 96% of their contributions, Dems 4%. In 17 and 18, Republicans 98%, Dems 2%. 15 and 16, Republicans 99%, Dems 1%. Since 1990, Republicans got 19 million plus and Democrats 3 million plus. These stats are from their own site.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that. We got more emails. We're going to sift through them briskly, but we'll take more comers on the phone line. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. This conversation about common sense changes in gun laws that would make our safer is winding down, as it does eventually after mass shootings.
We should talk about, and I think this is very important, the president wants to go to both Dayton and to El Paso. So, and the local Democratic people, some of them like Beto O'Rourke, are saying no, he should stay home. But the mayor of El Paso has said he intends to greet the president.
Well, it's kind of ironic to send the president to the place where there's a mass shooting, since he emboldened the killers.
Oh,
so
come on.
We'll talk about that when we come back. 1-800-795-9565. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. All right, call us immediately on the topic of mass shootings, I guess. 1-800-795-9565. Let's do the emails.
All right, we have one call pending or coming in, so we'll take the take this one first. Expanding gun legislation will only serve to make law-abiding citizens into criminals by imposing burdensome regulations that infringe on individual constitutional rights. It may sound too simple, but criminals already do not follow the law. That's noticeable when you look at the mass public shootings from 1998 to June 2019. 89% occurred in a gun-free zone. And statistically, we know the mass shooters are male, 96%, white, 58%, and have no religious, 68%, or political, 72% views. With all the discussion of what to do, we need to be careful to avoid the, quote, let's do something, anything mentality and look at the real issues behind shootings, which is not gun access, but the breakdown of societal, family, and cultural norms. So if we're red flagging on the facts, we simply take guns from white males aged 21 to 45 who are non-religious and or non-political.
Ooh, that would help.
Good point.
They're the ones that are most likely to cling to said guns. Oh, you deleted it. I'm so proud of you, Joe. You're learning.
Guns, Bible, and cling to their guns and Bibles here in Pennsylvania.
Well, that's right. We
Dan
love that.
Dan says the
attribute.
Bible's dusty, but the president or Hillary sent or President Obama said we cling to our guns and Bibles.
All right. Lance, thanks for being on the show. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, here's one guy that clings to his Bible and his rifle. Well, in our society here, I mean, we've cheapened life to the point where it is meaningless. I mean, you know, we kill.
Lance, you're going to have to speak up a little bit because you're
right.
Too soft. Speak up, man.
Okay, that was the whole deal here. I try to soften my tone.
Well, harden it up a bit.
All right, we'll do that.
That's better.
Okay. Now, in our society, I mean, we have really cheapened life. I mean, it's witness to the 650-some thousand little kids we kill for no reason at all every year. And another thing that we do is it's always someone else's fault. It's not ours. Somebody did it to us. So we try to get back at that. Or those people that we think have put us in the position that we don't want to be in. And it's really, a lot of these mass shooting perpetrators, that is exactly.
Something happened to Lance. Are you still there?
I don't know what. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What's going on?
You cut off for a second there.
What happened to mass shooters?
I'm going. I want a landline phone here.
Okay.
So, tell you what, can I call you back here? I think there's a call here.
Okay. I appreciate that. The most interrupted man in America.
What's more important, your other call or us?
He always says either somebody in the room or calling him or...
Or the birds chirping?
Dale, you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was flicking back and forth with CNN and Fox last night. I mean... They're both blaming each other. I mean, I don't think we need to blame anybody but ourselves.
What?
I'd say, you know, we're animals. And we're domesticated by giving us religion. And right now, I mean, I would say probably only 20% of the world right now is probably faith-based. We're missing God in a big part. Well... Our leaders, our elected leaders, are not there to tell us. They say a prayer after the fact, not before the fact. So it's not up to them for to have, you know, some kind of grounded faith. And I just say, you know, the more we walk away, the more worse it's going to get. They say this is a time where God's going to return. Well, I mean... It's just a shame, you know, people going around doing the blame game, but they don't blame themselves. And that's where we're at. I mean,
yeah,
the media is there just to exploit and make money. I mean, that's all they are there for. I mean, you can't blame either side. I mean, we're living in a corporate world. They're going to sell anything to make a profit. So I think people just need to, you know, maybe start praying or you know, find their faith. So I don't know. It's just wild pack of animals without no faith anymore. That's where we're in the world turning to chaos.
All righty.
Hello.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good point.
Cheerful call. Interesting point, though, Dale, as always. Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Email, Joe.
All right. Bob says, hello. Remember Trump signing a bill revoking Obama-era gun checks for people with mental illnesses? Trump also refused to sign the deal with Iran. Trump smiled to send her back. Trump said we are being invaded, and Trump supporters yelled, shoot them. Trump smiled and said, only in the panhandle could you do that. Trump is Reagan all over again. Listen to the tapes.
Sit down, Joe.
Trump is not Reagan.
No, I don't
think
so. I
knew Ronald Reagan, and Trump is not Ronald Reagan.
All right. That is the sum total of the emails that relate to the shooting. We have one text.
Well, we have this, you know, before we go off of that, I want to talk about the New York Times headline.
Text.
No, the New York Times. Oh, the text? Okay. He says, Adam Lanza, the Sandy Hook shooter, stole the weapons used from his mother before killing her. The Virginia Tech shooter killed 32 with pistols. What laws would have prevented this? Asking for a friend. Signed, Joe from Mifflinburg.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
But President Donald Trump speaks about the mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, in the diplomatic reception room at the White House yesterday. A New York Times headline about the president's remarks on the recent mass shootings in El Paso and Dayton drew condemnation online, including some Democratic presidential candidates, and was subsequently changed Monday. The newspaper summarized Trump's comments in which he denounced hate and white supremacy with the headline, Trump Urges Unity Versus Racism, on the front page of its first edition. A photograph of Tuesday's first edition was tweeted out by journalist...
That is an awful headline.
Well, yeah, right.
That is terrible.
A photograph of Tuesday's first edition was tweeted out by journalist Nate Silver Monday night and was quickly slammed by critics who accused the gray lady of inaccurately representing Trump's comments. Some Twitter users threatened to cancel their subscriptions, and others urged others to do the same. I canceled my subscription, tweeted CNN contributor Joan Walsh, adding, I can't keep rewarding such awful news judgment. Prominent Democrats in Washington also took aim at the Times, including New York Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She said, let this front page serve as a reminder of how white supremacy is aided by and often relies upon the cowardice of mainstream institutions. Presidential candidates, many of whom blamed Trump's rhetoric for El Paso, held that that left 22 dead, also decried the headline. New York Senator Kristen Gillibrand tweeted, that's not what happened. Lives literally depend on you doing better, New York Times. Please do, wrote Senator Cory Booker. A photograph of the Times' second edition of the front page hours later revealed that the headline had been changed to Assailing Hate, But Not Guns.
What was the first offensive headline?
The first, the one that was offensive to them was says, Trump urges unity versus racism. They didn't like that because it didn't play into their narrative. The president isn't allowed to say that white supremacists are bad. They all said to him when Charlottesville, he didn't condemn white nationalism enough, he didn't condemn white supremacy enough. Here he comes out, unequivocally condemns it, and now they're saying that the New York Times writes a headline about it that they shouldn't say that.
Well, maybe so they should have called attention to the fact that it's such a change of heart, though, right? I'm assuming that's the right answer here.
No, I think it's that they would have wanted him. They would have wanted the New York Times to point out that he had no moral authority to make such a statement.
I got you. Okay. We're going to take a quickie break. When we come back, we got a text pending related to this discussion, and we got a caller or two callers. So we'll take a quick break. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Emails and texts on the right-hand side there, Joe.
Okay, let's see here. Trump was behind a teleprompter yesterday, a speech written by someone else, not Trump. Trump truth is tweeted.
President Trump's tweets, though, have proper spelling, good punctuation, capital letters and everything. So I doubt that he actually does all that tweeting. It's too good.
Okay. And then one of our texters says, change of heart, Mark? Really?
Not me. He said, did the president have a change of heart, Mark? Really?
I don't see that there.
It's not there, but that's the subtext. The context is everything.
Oh, okay. Change of heart, Mark. Really? Trump is no white nationalist, racist, or bigot. He only became those according to the deplorable left when he ran for president. The only person to blame for these atrocities are the perpetrators. No one else pulled the trigger.
Well, the president may have become these ran for president, but he is it now. Yeah, I don't know when he became this way, but he is that way now.
But that's from our texter, Stan. But here's the question. I mean, no one's commented on what Hillary Clinton sent out, which I thought made some sense. She said other countries have mental health issues not out of proportion to those in the United States. Other countries play video games similar to the ones we play. Fortnite is an international phenomenon. So why don't those countries have more mass murders or any mass murders? And her answer is, it's the availability of guns.
Well,
is that a valid point or not?
I think it's worth it's worth being part of this conversation. I don't have any problem talking about it. Are gun laws going to make us safer? I mean, Senator Toomey's been asking about this. We always use that as the subtext for our show, but Senator Toomey made it up when he said, you know, I don't want to take away anybody's guns who's a hunter or a collector or a gun dealer. I simply want individuals who are purchasing guns to go through a full background check under all circumstances, which, as Stan pointed out, they do. But he wants anybody who's receiving a gun from anybody to go through some kind of a background check. He wants individuals who wish to turn in some neighbor or some driver of a vehicle that has hateful signs plastered all over it to report them, to see something and say something. And if it's worthy of examination, law enforcement could do that. If it needs to happen in a red flag situation, I don't know how many states have it, but it's probably a dozen or so states have red flag laws. They find ways to make sure that it is in full compliance with not only the state constitutions, but the U.S. Constitution, so that you're not denied due process, and that if your guns are supposed to go back to you, they do ASAP at no cost to you. You don't even have to provide your attorney. That good crack lawyers up to the level of the state prosecutors are provided for you to get these guns back to you if that's happening. So that's what Senator Toomey is talking about.
So what should we have to do? Should we have to prove that you don't deserve the gun, or should you have to prove you do?
They have to prove that you don't. Yeah, the onus is on them to come up with evidence. Your only defense is I mean, the only thing you need to do is to say that I live a normal life and that you're all washed up.
Well, that's not very proactive then. You know, we have to have some pretty massive investigative capabilities out there to determine that somebody should have their guns taken away from them.
We have neighbors. So, in other words,
I can take your guns away if your neighbor calls me up and says, I think Mark's a little dangerous.
Well, no, there's an adjudication before the guns are taken away, and then there is an adjudication immediately thereafter to find out if this is a valid situation. But you can,
In the meantime, you've committed a mass murder with the guns while we're in the process of adjudicating you.
I guess if you want to play what about all day, we could do this, but I think it's their
I don't see that as being a common sense law, because I don't think it solves the problem.
They're not for everybody, Joe. There's probably a reason if so few states have them. It is viewed as